Well, you're listening to the School of Ministry podcast, schoolofministryresources.org. This is Paul, and I'll be looking today at some of the questions. We had one listener that sent in a question that says, "My church uses the King James Version. I want to use the New King James Version because I understand it much better. What should I do?" So that's our question today. We're going to be looking at what version of the Bible should we use. And I would just suggest something that I heard someone else on a podcast say, and I thought it was very applicable. Use the Bible that helps you grow closer to Jesus Christ. Use that scripture that's going to encourage and help you in all of those aspects so that you can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be most important. There are some Bible English translations I would stay away from. We'll get into some of that. So what is it that we're going to use? What is it that we need? And how is it that we are going to grow in the greatest way? We're going to be looking at different translations. And we do have listeners, and I'm so thankful for all of you that are in Brazil, in Europe, across Africa, our new listeners in Vietnam. We're so glad that you're listening. Although today I'm talking about English translations of the Bible, and maybe that's what you use. So I do think that we have maybe too many translations to choose from in the English language. Some of that has come about. Understand that Bible translations are written at different grade levels, reading levels. So some are very simple, some are much more complex, and they are written at different levels for comprehension. Oh, I better shut off my phone, huh? Because we're making some noise here and I'm trying to. We're getting all of this live. Sorry about that, folks. People calling me in. And I turned on another computer so that if you're chatting with me, that you get this as well. So I hope that that makes sense and I hope that I can answer your chats right away. Now, in looking at some of these questions, we know that we have the entire Bible. We know without a shadow of a doubt. Now, some would say there was additional, and I think in my years of learning Greek and Hebrew, I do think there's some additions, but there's nothing that would change the meaning of the original language. So that's the important thing, is what is it that the Lord is trying to tell us? And so we have to understand that the Bible is actually one book with one divine author. Even though it was written over a period of 1,500 years, about 40 different human writers were used, we believe that the Bible is God speaking to us. We believe that the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it is unlike any other written book whatsoever. And so I think that that's an important thing. The Bible is very different from us, for us. And so right now, and I'm about to get interrupted here, right now we understand that the scripture is telling us that we have this actual Bible of God speaking to us, and he is letting us know that we have his word. We understand that. So why are there so many English translations? We have the New International Version, King James Version, the New King James. We have the English Standard. We have the New International Reader's Version, the New American Standard. We have the Message Bible, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. There's NET Bibles, and I can go on. We have probably too many Bibles. But understand, If you use a translation of the Bible, that is what you want to be using. You want to be using a translation, not a paraphrase. I'm not crazy about the Message Bible. From what my experience and looking at it, I think that it takes too much leeway. I would not recommend. I've heard some other men that I have great confidence in, but I haven't searched this out myself, and they are very dogmatic against this new Passion Bible. And I don't know. I'm not saying yay or nay, but I'm saying beware. Something else that's very helpful in your studies will be the Amplified Bible. You might want to use that because it tries to bring out the idea of the original language in an expanded form. And so that's what we're doing. We're wanting to understand, what is the Bible actually saying? Remember, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and some Aramaic or Chaldean. But the majority of that, by the way, is Hebrew. And then also, we have the New Testament written in common, what was called Koine Greek. And I'm thankful I was able to study under some very, very great scholars to take Hebrew and Greek. And as well as I had the opportunity to learn some Hebrew from some rabbis. And so that was a great opportunity that we've had. So saying that, the question at hand is, should we use the King James Bible? That's what the person is asking. Their church uses King James. Do you understand the King James? That would be my question. Is that helpful to you? Because King James is written many, many years ago, and some of the things that the language has evolved. So our language is not what it used to be. Let me give you an example. This is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. The King James Version says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way." Now, here's an example of the New King James Version, where the language has been updated. "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." So that gives us a better idea that the word let, that used to mean hinder, that used to mean hold back, the language has changed, and now it's speaking about allowing. So here in our language, let means to allow, but in older English, it meant to hold back. Here's the NIV, the New International Version. "For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way." That's a very good translation. Tells us exactly what we need to know. Understand that when the King James Bible was originally given, it came from the Greek text called the Textus Receptus. That was a marketing term. And I'll just tell you, there are many, many marketing terms today, such as the New American Standard Bible. That's a marketing term. The New International Version. Those are marketing terms. When Erasmus, the brother from the Dutch, when he was coming up and translating and putting together the Greek text, he had 5, maybe 6 manuscripts. And he did not have the book of Revelation. He had to take that and piece it together from a commentary. Today, we have over 5,000 ancient Greek manuscripts. That's why sometimes the King James Bible differs from the newer versions. It's because the newer versions are based on older manuscripts, those that were closer to the time which they were being written. So our translators, I'll have to say, have been very careful to study not only the English language, but the ancient language, the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, so that they can bring about the idea of what was originally said into our understanding. Hopefully, that's what has been done through the years. Now, maybe if you're Spanish speaking, you use La Reina Valera. Or maybe you have another version that you're... All of these are translations of the original. Not one of them is perfect. And some of my friends that are King James only are going to probably fall out of their seats right now. But let me give you a couple of examples. Because King James does have some errors. And I'm not defending anyone over another. But I'm saying that we want to be using the scripture that helps us grow closer to Jesus Christ. Now, when I was saved, I came under the preaching. It was New American Standard that the pastor was using. However, in the years past, and many of you know, I did 18 years in prison, and I used whatever was available. And we saw thousands of men come to Christ. In 1 year, we saw 200 men come to Christ. The next year, we saw over 500 men come to Christ. Sometimes I had the New King James. Sometimes I had NIV or New American Standard. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to take the word and to convict the soul that's listening. And he'll do that with any translation. So I think we do need to be careful. There are too many translations. And nowadays, and I'm probably rambling, there's something that's happening today because of having to pay royalties. So Bible publishers will come out with their own translation, and then they don't have to pay the royalty, let's say, to the Lockman Foundation for the New American Standard or for some other foundation. So it's just an economic boom. And I think that's something that is necessary for us to understand, that we have so many English translations today because it's a money factor. It comes back to how much money do we have to pay. So let me just say, because then I was getting into some things about the King James Version. I do use the New King James. I like that. I love the language of the old King James. I have, and I've tried to preserve my King James Bible that I've had, a Thompson Chain Reference, and I've tried to use that and try to use it very much. But I've come across some problems, and I've been faced with people that have said, wait a minute, your Bible has errors. Let me give you an example where King James is incorrect. This is 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 24. It says, Azariah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. I'm going to stop right there, because then it gets on to Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. But then, over in 2 Chronicles, chapter 22, verse 2, it says, Azariah was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. Did you notice almost the very same verse in 2 Chronicles 22? It says he reigned 42 years. He was 42 years old when he began to reign. In Kings, it said that he was 22 years old. What happened? Very simple explanation. And most Bible translators have already worked it out. Because they took the Dalet and the Bet, and one simple little line changed it from 22 to 42. Because they forgot one simple little line over the years. And it's changed it by 20 years. So he was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. But you see, that's a mistake. And if somebody doesn't believe the Bible, they're going to say, oh, look, your Bible has errors. Here's one that one of the imams, when I was in the prison, he mentioned this to me. He says, and it's found in Romans chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul talking, and he says, verse 7, Romans 3, verse 7, for if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? He said, so Paul says it's okay to lie? Well, boy, that sent me back to really investigate. And what does that mean, that Paul says it's okay to lie if God gets the glory? That just rankled me. I got to tell you, that just went against my belief. I couldn't see that. So I went back to the Greek, and I found that the New International Version translated it exactly according to the Greek. Let me read that for you. In Romans 3, verse 7, NIV, it says, someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? So there's the thing that Paul is saying, someone can make this human argument. And that's what he says in the verses just before, that God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us. I'm using a human argument. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? Then he goes on in verse 7. Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory. That's where we look, we understand, boy, how right this could be. And that means you've got to be able to come back and examine the scriptures. Now, Bible translations are also written in different forms. There's kind of a formal equivalence. That means that they're taking a more literal translation rather than seeking a word-for-word translation. And that includes like the King James, the New King James, the ESV, which is the English Standard Version, the New American Standard. Those are somewhat going to be on that formal equivalence. And then there's also that dynamic equivalent. What do I mean? The New Living Translation, the NIV, these use the dynamic, that is thought for thought translation. And then there's another type of translation where we have the functional equivalence that provides that the main idea of the passage, rather than on the focus of the translation of words, has kind of come across. And so that's where you get those paraphrases. They're trying to say, this is the idea, the thought, and they're not really concerned about what is really truly being said, as long as the thought comes across. And so that's really kind of where they're going, rather than focusing on translation. And some of those popular examples are like the Message Bible. There's another one, The Voice, that's kind of similar renderings. We have to be careful, I think, in those. Do not get caught up in some of those paraphrased versions. I think that's something that we can all say that you will want to stay away from, if at all possible. Remember, also, Bible translations are given at different reading levels. The Revised Standard, like at a 12th grade reading level. The New American Standard at 11th grade. NIV is more between a 9th to 6th grade. Or the English Standard is about a 9th grade. Or New King James, 9th grade. So that's an important thing, because you have to consider who is listening. We've got to consider who's taking this in, who is listening. And that's why I think that it's important today that we recognize that we want something that is coming from the original language that the Lord is going to use to bring us closer to Jesus Christ. Now, some of the friends of mine that are very strong King James, I don't understand that, because our Baptist forefathers, and I'm a Baptist, I'm a landmark Baptist, our Baptist forefathers absolutely rejected the King James Bible. So I don't understand why nowadays so many are going after it and making this a test of fellowship. I just don't understand, because it was the King James Bible that gave us a differing of words. They took the Greek word ekklesia, that means assembly, the body, the church. And that's what they did. They took that that German word for church and brought it over into the English. And so we don't really understand what a church is. We don't really fully grasp that it is the body of people. It is the assembly of people. And so it carried the idea of universal church, of everybody is just now somewhere out there and you're part of the church. And that was never, ever an idea. And our Baptist forefathers strongly held against it. By the way, it was King James that mandatory made them, the Baptist in England, they had to give the catechism. Otherwise, they went to prison, and many of them did go to prison. They were thrust in and just in horrible, horrible conditions. Well, King James was never a friend of the our Baptist forefathers. Likewise, the King James Version took something that we understood was dip or immerse, and they made a new word. They took the Greek word baptizo, and they made it an English word. Oh, thanks. I'm sorry. Appreciate your chats today. Appreciate you listening online. So I want to just recognize that we're seeing how so many words were brought over because they did not want to translate it like dip or immerse, because that's not what their church was doing. And so they just transliterated that word and it became baptized. And now baptism is anything that you want it to be. So I'm at a loss as to why people were fighting so strong over this very issue. I'm just not sure why that is. Okay, I see some more super chats. I see chats on there. Glad I'm trying to learn how to do this. I'm not doing a very good job, but I hope that this is an interesting subject to you. And I want you to be sure that you have the complete Word of God in the Bible that you're using. And again, I encourage you, like I said, I use a New King James. I like that. But I also use the New International Version. I'll use the New American Standard. And I'll use that which I think is closest to the Greek language. So short of learning Greek or short of learning Hebrew, get a good Bible translation. Use it. Allow God's Holy Spirit to deal with you, to talk to you, to work in your life, to bring you closer to Jesus Christ. Well, there are so many other issues, and I know we could go through back and forth, and some would say, oh no, the King James is the only one, or the NIV is the only one, or New American Standard. I think I want to warn you, don't get caught up in that kind of minutia, and just allow the Word of God to work in your life, to bring you closer to the Lord. All right, if there's any other questions, then Lord willing, next week we'll get into some other questions and we'll look at some other things. This should have been Throwback Thursday, but we ended up going live instead. God bless you, brethren. I hope that this helps you in some of your studies. Take care. Bye now.